Good evening. Tonight's event is titled An Abundance of Health. In English, this is not the most typical expression, but it reminds me of a beautiful bracha the Rebbe would often repeat, borrowing a classic term from the Gemara. He would wish us all, Banai Chaye Mezoinei Revichei, children, health, and livelihood in abundance. The Rebbe once explained how Chaye Revichei, an abundance of health, was the second part of the blessing that directly follows the first, Banai Revichei, an abundance of children. He explained that together with the miracle of a house full of children comes the blessing of good health for the entire family. And then, of course, comes the third part, which is the financial means to sustain them. On this note, I'd like to tell you about a project I am working on. As you probably know, I am a mother of four and have a blog called The Gift of Children. But the truth is that the blog is only a small part of a much bigger picture. But first, let me tell you how it began. Just over a year ago, I was expecting my fourth child. He was due just a couple of days before my fifth anniversary. We had a nice and steady pattern going with four little darlings, each 15 months apart. Yes, I know how that sounds. It was coming to the point that I was feeling the looks wherever I went. Maybe it was in my head, maybe it was not, but I felt like people thought I was overdoing it. I was sure when they saw me walking with my kids that they were wondering why I couldn't just take a break. They couldn't see how it could be good for the kids to be so close together. And how could I be giving them the attention that they needed? How did I cope with changing all those diapers all day and all the sleepless nights? I was sure they either felt bad for me or maybe they even thought I was nuts. It didn't help that I was heavily pregnant at the time and frustrated at not being able to do what I wanted. There were all these exciting, important things I wanted to do, like picking up the toys from the floor at the end of the day or bringing the laundry baskets up and down to the machines. It was hard to rely on others like my devoted husband, who, no matter how hard they tried, never managed to do it well enough, at least in my eyes. One day, I decided I'd had enough. It suddenly occurred to me that maybe the voices were right. Maybe I was taking it too far. Maybe I wasn't managing because my situation really wasn't manageable. Most people I know don't have kids so close together. Perhaps it was only fair to my family to call the Rav and get permission to take a little break after this baby was born. Maybe then I'd have some time to feel human, to get my house together, and we would all be better off. I honestly thought this new resolution would bring me some hope and relief. But I was wrong. I did not feel more relieved. In fact, I began feeling more and more miserable. Everything became harder to deal with, and the stress felt heavier and heavier by the day. It almost didn't make any sense. Nothing had changed, except I had come up with a practical solution for my growing stress load. Why was it not comforting me at the very least? After a few days of this struggle, I decided to think again. Deep down, I knew I wanted to have a big family. I grew up myself in a family of 10 children, born within 11 years, and I knew it was good. We were happy, and while not without challenges, we knew that we were very blessed. My siblings and dozens of cousins were my world. I never once remember feeling that I had less than others because of my many siblings. If anything, I felt extra lucky to be part of such a large and close clan. But somehow, that wasn't enough for me. It wasn't enough that my incredible mother chose to have as many kids as she could, and that I felt so lucky growing up with them all. I still wanted a good answer to all those voices who doubted me, and I wanted solid answers for myself. Why did I really want to have a big family? Why was I so convinced that this was the right choice for myself, despite all of society's ideas to the contrary? I decided to do some searching. I remembered learning in high school about the mitzvah of Pru Revu. So I contacted my teacher and I asked her to point me to information on the topic so I could go and learn it again. It was hardly a few hours and she had responded with the notes from her class, an inspiring story, a link to a bunch of sichas on an old website, and another sicha she recommended I learn. It was solid stuff.
I looked it over, and I even read some of it. But most of it I didn't, because the truth is, I was a little surprised. Was that really all there was? All this scattered, fragmented information? Had no one put together a book about it, or even a few chapters that addressed these issues? Was there no resource that put the contemporary questions together with their traditional answers? I did some more searching and discovered that no, there was not. At least, not in the way I wanted to see it. And so, the gift of children was born. I began with a list of questions I wanted to find answers to. And together with my husband, I collected a pile of sources, halachic, hashkafic, and practical, all about having children. A huge number of pages consisted of talks and letters of the Rebbe, showing us just how important this issue was to him. We found some amazing stuff. Very soon, I knew I would not be calling the Rebbe so fast. And believe it or not, life suddenly became manageable again. And we weren't just managing, we were thriving. Our new perspective gave us new strength and passion to care for our family in a way we could have never imagined. Naturally, we knew we needed to share this all and began indexing and organizing the ideas that we found. We knew it would take time until we could bring out a complete product. So I decided to start a blog where I shared my thoughts and ideas as I explored this journey. I shared it with some friends, and before we knew it, we'd had a few thousand hits from around the world. Friends and strangers messaged us to show us their appreciation, and we could see how important this project was to so many people. One supporter presented a sample of our work as a memento from his son's recent wedding, and we gave out another booklet of sichas in their original form in honor of Yudalef Nisan this year. We have big goals, including Hebrew and English Sfarim with a complete collection of relevant halachic and hashkafic sources. We are also working on a smaller book for mothers with shorter, simpler, but deep and personal perspectives, much like the style of my blog. Eventually, we hope to create an organization providing resources that young families often lack to aid them in the real things that challenge them in raising their beautiful families. We are still a long way from all that we want to accomplish. I've only covered 2 of the 10 topics I'd outlined for my blog. But as the Rebbe taught, if you know Aleph, teach Aleph. So we hope that while it's only a very small sample of what needs to be explained, hopefully you will gain something from what I will share today. There are 3 main questions I plan to address tonight. Number 1, what is the actual halacha in regard to having children, and how is it applied? Number 2, why is this mitzvah so important? Number 3, how is it possible to raise a large family and remain not just sane, but healthy, happy, and fulfilled too? That's the what, the why, and the how. We'll begin with the what, the halacha. The source of the mitzvah is in the Torah, in Parshas Bereishis, a famous pasuk, which also happens to be the first commandment in the Torah. Perek Aleph, pasuk Chav Ches. Vayivarach Eisam Aleikim, vayir Melahem Aleikim. And Hashem blessed them, and Hashem said to them, Pru urvu umilu as aretz v'kipshua. Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Like with most mitzvahs, the Gemara discusses what the technical obligation includes. Midaraisa, it is determined that since the mitzvah is about continuity of humankind, the obligation is for each couple to have one boy and one girl. Okay, 2 kids. That seems doable. What happens then? Is it totally up to us if we want to have more? Well, as with many other mitzvahs, beyond the basic obligation, there is a rabbinic aspect too. According to the Rambam, one does not fulfill the mitzvah with two children, but is obligated to continue to have children as long as he can. But what does that mean? What determines whether one can or cannot handle another child at a given time? The bottom line is one is generally obligated, unless given a rabbinic exemption, a heter, from a qualified rav, who can determine whether one is halachically required or exempt from this mitzvah, based on particular circumstances. Here, I found, is where opinions today vary greatly. In some circles, the Rabbanim interpret this very leniently, while others have a stricter understanding and will give a heter only in extreme, usually health-related circumstances. Our question was, what is the Chabad approach to this? As we studied, we came across a few themes in Chabad Chassidus that we were pretty familiar with. The first theme relates to our approach in keeping halacha. Chassidim are people who try to fulfill every mitzvah in the best possible way. We buy only the most beautiful mezuzos to fill in arba minim we can find. We keep kashrus to the highest standards, and everyone knows the way we practice the mitzvah of love for our fellow Jew. Thousands of us have devoted our lives and moved across the world to serve Jews they have never met, and the rest of us support them and the thousands of guests and students that fill this community so many times a year. All for the sake of fulfilling the will of Hashem in the very best way that we can, despite the cost and the great effort it takes from us. This was one reason we found that Chabad Chassidim have typically raised large families. Simply put, the best way to fulfill the mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply is to have many kids. And so we do our best to fulfill it, not stopping at our minimum obligation. As long as we are healthy and fit to care for another child, we welcome them with love. That's the mitzvah in short. Of course, there are many more details and discussions about this and how it relates to various circumstances that people might be in. But for now, we will move on to the second question. Why? Why is this mitzvah so important? Another theme in Chabad is a focus on the pnimius. We study and learn to become aware of the spiritual and essential aspect of everything in our life, rather than only the physical and the practical, and we use that as a guide for the choices we make every day. This, we found, was the basis for much of the Rebbe's talks on this topic. There is a famous story of a woman who came to the Rebbe for dollars one Sunday. There was an hours-long line, and by the time it was her turn, she was exhausted. It occurred to her that the Rebbe must feel the same, and more, since he would be remaining even after she had long gone home. When her turn finally came, she stopped and asked the Rebbe, "How is it that you stand so long and not get tired?" And he famously responded, "One does not tire when counting diamonds." The Rebbe saw the neshama of each Jew and never tired of anything he could do to touch, help, and uplift each one. And he taught us to do the same. When the Rebbe spoke about having children, he thought of the neshamas. He appealed to us to think of our children not as a responsibility or a burden, chas v'shalom, but as our most precious treasures. He urged us to remember their true value and to realize the great merit that we have in each opportunity we are given to raise another child. He assured us that no matter what shlechos we may be involved in, no matter how many people we might reach, none of it came close to the importance of bringing one more child into the world and raising it to be a mensch and a God-fearing Jew. Only Hashem knows how much that child would accomplish in his entire lifetime and through the lifetimes of his children and grandchildren, and only he could decide when the right time for it to enter this world would be. The Rebbe reminded us that the bracha of a child is not to be taken for granted. We all know, many of us from personal experience, that only Hashem can guarantee a successful pregnancy. And while we may be able to prevent the birth of a child at a given time, there is no guarantee when the opportunity will be presented again. This is another major theme. There is another major theme of the Rebbe's that made this issue so important to him. As he announced at the beginning of his nesius, the Rebbe's life's goal was to bring Mashiach. It was the focus of everything he did. And so, he would tell us of a spiritual chamber called Guf, containing souls waiting to be born. As the Medrash says, Ein ben David ba, ad sheyichlu kol ha-neshamas shabaguf. Mashiach cannot come until all the neshamas from Guf have been brought into the world. This is the mandate of our generation, the generation that would bring Mashiach. The Rebbe spoke a lot about why each child is so very important. But the Rebbe was not unaware of the challenges. In fact, there are over 30 times that the Rebbe addressed this issue publicly, encouraging us and answering the difficulties he knew so many of us were facing. Which brings us to the third question. How? Most of us do understand the importance of each child, And maybe because of that, we know how great their needs are, physically, emotionally, and of course, financially. And we really care to do all we can to give them the best possible chance in life. How are we expected to live up to all that when we keep having one kid after the other? This is a big question, and there's no way I'd be able to answer this completely today. Instead, I'll be discussing a few ideas that will cover at least part of the issues. To do something successfully, you must first understand what it's about and what exactly needs to be done. Then, you need to find the inspiration and emotional strength to invest in it. From there, you can come up with a plan of action that is right for you and your particular situation. Maybe that was the reason the Rebbe spent so much time talking about why this mitzvah is so important. This way, when presented with the very real challenges that this mitzvah entails, the how, we would be fortified with inspiration and appreciation that would encourage us to find the answers and solutions that we needed. So before getting practical, we'll need to understand, what is actually our job in raising children? I will focus on a couple of points that the Rebbe discusses, and from there, I invite you to follow my blog as we develop and analyze these ideas in detail. I encourage you to discuss your questions with your family and friends and find answers for yourself, because as we discovered in this journey, the more you ask and search for an answer that satisfies you, the more beautiful will be the answers you find. I'll begin with an idea the Rebbe spoke about that seemed fundamental to this question. We all know about the concept of Hashgacha Pratis. We are taught that even the apparently random twists and turns of a leaf that falls to the ground is guided by a heavenly hand toward a specific purpose. It's a beautiful idea, and I think most of us really embrace it. We love to tell little stories of Hashgacha Pratis, a parking spot appearing just where we need it, bumping into a friend at just the right time, finding an item you need in the store was in stock just the day you arrived. But I wonder sometimes if we forget what the real lesson of Hashgacha Pratis is. It's nice to know that Hashem is taking care of a worm on the ground when it needs some shade. But it's far more important to realize that Hashem is Mashgiach, a true supervisor of the big things in our life too. Hashem gave us our parents, our schools, and our homes just the way they are, because that's what's best for us. Hashem gives us our jobs, our spouses, and our friends because they fit the journey that our soul needs to travel. And He also gives us challenges, difficulties, and trials, because those are the tests that will strengthen us and bring out our greatest potential. This is what Hashgacha Pratis really means. Everything that has any effect on our life, whether it's big or small, caused by a person or by nature, temporary or permanent, is completely and exclusively controlled by Hashem. The trick is to take this from your head to your heart. We all believe that Hashem exists. We know that He is holy and good, and we believe that He is master of the entire world. But belief in Hashgacha Pratis takes that a step further. It's not just believing that Hashem runs the world. It's believing that He runs your world, not just in the past, but in the present and the future, and acknowledging it to the point that you really and truly trust Him to set things up for you right. It's a trust that does not leave room for worry or doubt. It's a trust that allows a Jew to fulfill the will of Hashem, no matter how unreasonable it seems at the time. It's a trust that allows a parent to welcome another child Hashem decides to send their way, confident that Hashem's love for His children far exceeds even the love we have for our own. And a trust that Hashem, who has access to all the resources in the world and more, will provide for them everything they need. It's not our job to guarantee our child a life of plenty. Not because we don't want them to have everything they need or want, but because a human being cannot guarantee anything in the future, much as we might think and plan to. The Rebbe explains that the Jewish people, just like Eretz Yisrael, are compared to a deer. The skin of a deer, while firm and strong, expands itself to contain the deer's growing body. Once it is skinned, however, the hide shrinks significantly to the extent that it could never be stretched to fit again. The resources that sustain the Jewish people work just the same way. When they are not being used, they seem too small to support us. But then they grow and adapt supernaturally to fulfill all our needs with the birth of each additional child. The Rebbe writes how each child is a source of great blessing, not just for himself, but for his entire family. And this is true not only spiritually, but physically. Whenever a child is born, along with him is created a new channel for his livelihood. In a fascinating letter, the Rebbe writes to a parent who is having difficulty with an older child that it is clearly seen that an additional child has a positive effect on the other children in the house. So the answer to how we are expected to do this is that we are expected to do our best and no more. Hashem is the one who is responsible to make it all work out. But then, I had another question. If Hashem is truly running the world and provides all our needs and the needs of our children, then what is the meaning of all the work we do? Why do we need to put in so much effort to carry, give birth to, raise, and support our children with so many challenges along the way? The answer we found to this was genuinely uplifting. Consider this scenario. You are an aspiring artist, and one day you are gifted a color-by-number set of a breathtaking waterfall. It comes with the exact paints that you need, the right brushes, and outlines of exactly where each color belongs. You waste no time and get right to work. Within a few short hours, you have a beautiful piece of art you can treasure forever. The next day, you are back to your little studio. But this time, you only have your standard tubes of paint, a blank canvas, and your imagination to work with. You need to figure out what you want to paint, pull up a reference image, sketch it out from scratch, get the right shades from the paint colors you have, find the brushes that will work for you, and hope for the best. You take a deep breath, summon the art skills you have, you find a great image of a lighthouse, and you get to work. It's not such smooth sailing. You need to sketch and resketch, mix and blend, and paint and retouch again and again and again. You work on it for a few days, maybe a week, until you are satisfied, finally, with the result. I know we're not all artists, so maybe this isn't your lingo. But try and think for a minute about the scenario and tell me. Which piece would be more valuable to you? The perfectly executed waterfall, but essentially someone else's masterpiece performed through your brush? Or is it the less than perfect but original rendition of the lighthouse, into which you infused your creative energy, struggle to match colors, blend strokes, and create practically on your own? The answer, I think, is clear. Chances are, you couldn't even sell the color-by-number waterfall, as perfect as it might look. There's just no real value attached to something that anyone can do. The lighthouse, on the other hand, is a true work of art. Hashem does a fine job running the world. He certainly could have made it easy to raise children, even completely instinctive, just as it is in Lahavdil, the animal kingdom. But for that, he did not need to create man. The purpose of the entire physical world is so that man would exist, so that he would work hard, struggle through his challenges, and accomplish the unbelievable through his own effort and creativity. It is not a punishment, but a privilege and an incredible opportunity. And the proof is that from the moment man was created, before there was any sin in the world, we are told that he was placed in Gan Eden, le'avda u'le'shamra, to work it and guard it. It was his unique mission, not just to live, survive, and take pleasure like all other creatures in this new and beautiful world, but his job was to work it, to add to it, to make his own mark and perfect it. Hashem gave us work so that we can accomplish, so we can take ownership of our successes and feel the joy that comes through our own efforts. He wants us not to create a color by number, but an original composition with our own skills, circumstances, and creativity, so that we can be actual partners in creation. Having children is a unique mitzvah, and that it really transforms and takes over your life on every level. Parenting is hard work, but the results are also unlike any other mitzvah. You are not elevating an animal hide, a beam of wood, or a piece of fruit with this mitzvah. You are fashioning an entire new being, a lifetime of meaning and accomplishments. A good person doesn't happen on its own, but through lots of hard work. And that is what makes your children truly yours to be proud of. There is no step-by-step handbook with instructions for every situation. Each of us needs to sketch out our path and find the right blend of traits and habits to create a harmonious product. But what we do have is one guidebook with the framework and the rules of the art. And that is the Torah. As for the practical work, we must begin with securing the foundation of the home, we who are the Akeres HaBayis, by taking care of our own health and needs to the best of our ability. Without a strong foundation, the entire structure would crumble. Then, we must work together. No one can do it alone. We need to build a strong team with our spouse. We need to speak to other parents and read parenting books. We need to reach out for help when we need it. It really does take a village to raise children, and that's why family and community are there. We must remember to reach out and ask when we need, and reach out and offer when we can help someone else. We learned on this journey that a large family is not just a tradition. In fact, it is one of the biggest mitzvahs a person can fulfill. We learn to resist our modern society's ideas that children are a burden, and remember and embrace our own Jewish outlook, where children are nothing but the greatest blessing. It helped us see and appreciate how, for us, having children so close in age is truly a great advantage, not just spiritually, but in so many practical ways. And we learned that it really is okay not to have everything planned out, and to rely on Hashem after doing your best. The Rebbe assures us that our livelihood will adapt to us, just like the man, which was precisely prepared for each family member. May we all be zecha to the beautiful triple bracha of an abundance of children, an abundance of health, and an abundance of livelihood. Thank you.